You're listening to Zap Nights Zap Chats, a monthly video game discussion. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Zap Chats. I'm your host Danny.
I'm your co-host Kaylee.
We are in March of 2024. And I don't know, what have you been playing, Kaylee?
Not much. I've been playing Final Fantasy VII a little bit. Been busy this month.
I mean, it's only been a few weeks since, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
The game came out and, you know, we're adults, so finding time to play is not always the easiest.
You came over like a week or so ago, and you weren't any farther than I was at the time, and I was so relieved because I felt like I had been slacking.
Yeah, so I've made it to, I think I'm in like chapter 4 or something like that, but if you are familiar with the main game, I'm not going to obviously spoil a whole lot for you, Kaylee, but if you remember the main game, you get out of Midgar, you go to Calm, you do the flashback, and then you go to the marsh, where you gotta cross the marsh with the chocobos and the, like, go through the cave. And then you start heading on to Junon. And so I finished going through the cave and I made it to Junon, and that's where I'm at right now.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, honestly, depending on how far this game goes for like gameplay compared to the original game, it's going to be a really long game. Like, I'm definitely going to say we're going to need at least 2 months to play this, maybe even more. But, you know, it just depends on how much time we have to play.
Yeah. Yeah, well, adults, right?
Right, yeah. So, how have you been enjoying it so far? Like, how far exactly have you gotten? What have you experienced?
So you do the flashback stuff, and then you leave, and you go up to the marsh, and that's it.
Okay.
I've got some battle stuff in, though, like, you know, doing that kind of stuff.
Have you done the chocobo stuff yet?
Yes, I did do the chocobo stuff.
Okay. And you did the stuff with, like, Chadley?
Yes. So okay. That's like, the last thing I was doing. Like, it's hard because I want to stay and do everything on the map, but the map is so big.
Yeah. Well, I kind of already said I've gotten past the marsh, past the Midgar snakes, Zalem or whatever.
Yeah, that's not what they call them in the game.
I know.
They changed it. I'm so upset.
And then, I got to Junon, and I kind of did a few things in Junon enough to unlock all of the side quests. So I'm working on the side quests now, but I did do everything in the grasslands, which is where you're at. I strongly suggest just accepting the fact and doing everything in the grasslands. The biggest reason is because it's stupid hard to level up in this game.
Okay.
So like, just hunker down and do all the things in the grasslands and then move on when you have to. Every like side quest task thing that Chadley gives you, has a level next to it. And that level is like
a suggestion level.
It's a suggested level, but it's on the high end.
Okay.
Or no, sorry, it's on the low end. So like, you're gonna want to be a little bit higher than the suggested level. At least my gameplay style is for that. I can't, like, if I'm at level 22 and the suggested level is 22, I'm like, I'd better wait. So yeah.
Wow.
Get used to that. I feel very underleveled in this game.
Me too.
You do really have to pay attention to the new gameplay mechanics. The new gameplay mechanics are very vital to keeping up with your game, keeping up with, you know, the enemies and being able to fight productively.
Yeah, sure.
So, like for me, I came out of the Final Fantasy VII remake, the first part, with this like just button mash and you'll be fine. And then I get to this game and I'm like, that strategy doesn't work anymore. So like, I need to like actually fight, yeah, and actually plan and think about it. And, you know, doing the assess, function is really like, it's critical. Like it really is to be able to pressure and stagger all of your enemies is kind of the direction you want to go. So doing the assess will help you figure out what you need to do to get them pressured and staggered, and then that in turn will help you beat them faster.
So does that make you happy or frustrated comparative to the first game?
It's honestly not a whole lot different than the first game. As far as the battle system goes, content. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot new features with the like assist. What is that feature called?
Oh, the like synergy, whatever it's called.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. Where it's almost like a play on Chrono Trigger, where like you can have these like triple combos. Tech abilities. Yeah, like with multiple characters, and you have this like entire book. This entire like unlockable tree for those abilities, and they're pretty cool, even though they're kind of hard to remember to execute, and they don't always work, and I don't know, it's kind of a hassle to remember to do it. But I mean, it's a cool feature, and everything else just kind of flows really well. The attacks are a lot faster, everything is real smooth. My biggest number one complaint in this game so far is traversing the world is just a nightmare. It's like clunky, like crazy. I've never played a game that was this clunky trying to run around in like a field of grass. It's just awful.
Oh, I understand what you're saying now, I think. Like it's bumpy, and so it's not fluid.
That, and like when you go up to like a small rock, your character like jumps instead of just like stumbling over the rock. Like Cloud has to like jump, and the jump animation is very like stop, jump, go, and it's clunky, and it's uncomfortable.
I had one thing where I was opening a door and he wasn't even holding the handle.
Yeah. I mean, like, I expect I've had that stuff kind of like stuff. That.
It's not a huge deal, but like at the very beginning, you're walking around in the flashback. You've got people with you. And if you want to like deviate a little bit to like go get like you'll have some cliffs, right? And you'll want to go up there to like grab a materia or something that you see shiny. The whole party follows you up the cliffs. So like you're supposed to be walking down this hallway and everyone is like, wait. We all have to jump these little ledges so that we can all collect this one materia. You know what I mean?
That doesn't change in the main game either.
I'm sure it don't. I like that they all follow you like together. Yeah. But like, I don't know how that could have been executed just a little bit better, I think.
Chadley wants you to activate these towers.
Yeah.
And you can climb these towers, but like there's not much up there. Like you climb the tower, there might be a couple boxes that you can attack to Google get things. Like items and whatever, and then you just like slide down a pole and then you're back on the ground level. Well, my whole party doesn't need to come with me. Like I'm going up the thing and I look down, Red's like like Barrett's like struggling to climb the ladder. I'm like, dude, you didn't have to come up here.
The other thing that bothers me is my chocobo doesn't jump.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why, but that really bothers me a lot. Does Cloud jump? He doesn't jump, right? You can't actually jump with Cloud? Or can you?
Not exactly. Like, you can kind of.
It's kind of like 16, right? Where you kind of, you kind of just jump over a pole.
Yes. I mean, you don't just like actively jump in the world naturally, but Cloud can like hurdle over stuff. And if you find yourself kind of stuck, you can hold the, I think it's circle that you hold or press, and he'll like kind of maneuver through the obstacles. But it kind of goes back to that clunkiness when you're running around. Like, if you're not... Cloud will execute those jumps naturally without pressing anything. But, like, I find myself a lot of times where I'm stuck, like, inside, like... For example, I went to a windmill, like a broken windmill place, and I went underneath it, and then I was like stuck underneath it, and I'm like pressing the circle button trying to get out, and it's like there is no like easy like this way to leave. It's just like you're stuck, and you won't climb up, you won't climb down. It's just it's really annoying. But like that happens a lot, where like I'm climbing up and down, and like then I won't, and Cloud, it doesn't jump very smoothly, so like everything and the camera is very like jumpy with Cloud, so like every time he stubs his toe on a rock, the camera's like whoa, and then like you know, I feel like the experience of navigating is very jarring. Now that said, playing the like when you're inside flat areas, it's pretty good. Like the towns are pretty good. For some reason, I didn't notice this issue in the flashback sequence, but it was like hardcore in the grasslands and on to Junon, to the Junon region. So like, it's just this like very clunky.
I think I understand. Yeah, for sure.
Terrain traversal mechanic. Like it's really clunky. Chocobos are a little bit better, and I do find myself riding chocobos quite often, but a lot of times chocobos are so fast that like you miss all the items or like you accidentally go away that you didn't mean to. And I mean, you don't have to run max pace all the time with the chocobos, just because it's faster you do.
Yeah. How do you feel about the like the things that the chocobos do, like the sniffing or whatever, or the digging?
I'm fine with that. Like, I think that that's a fun mechanic.
I'm glad that they kind of added that. It reminded me of 9.
Yeah, I kind of thought it would.
How you get to the sense the stuff, like, oh, that was nice. I like that little bit of extra sprinkle in, I guess.
I also really like the card game. I surprisingly like the card game.
I had to relook up. I had to actually watch someone play it and explain it at the same time. I did so much better after that. And it's okay. I'd rather play Triple Triad.
Yeah, it's not quite as intuitive as Triple Triad, but it's definitely more... there's more strategy that you can invoke in this game. Because you're not, like... So... What is it? Queen's Blood?
Queen's Blood, yeah.
You actually are focusing on the rose, and the winner of the rose wins the loser's points.
Right.
So, like, if, say, for example, you lose a row, but you lose it with only one token point, then your opponent's really only winning the one token point. So it's like you can play on these like different levels to really think about, you know, to make you really think about how you want to play it, you know?
Yeah. So did you, there was some like side quest a little bit back in Calm. Did you do the one to get the guy's card back?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. So I did everything. Like I fully completed the grassland stuff.
Oh, okay.
After you play for a little bit, you can actually go back to Calm. I don't know if you've done that yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can go back to Calm and do all the side quest stuff that's there.
I appreciate it, but it's kind of silly that they did that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. But yeah.
I definitely, as you move on, you'll see that they've taken this opportunity of changing up the direct narrative from the original game. and playing that out in a way that makes sense. And I feel like, at least up to this point, that's kind of the direction that they're planning, is that, like, they're telling this story, but some things don't make sense. So, like, in order for it to make sense in this gameplay style, we're going to change a few things around that isn't what players remember from the original. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For example, without spoiling the game too much for you, Kaylee, you do have to fight the snake as a boss.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
I kind of felt the same way when I was going through there. I'm like, I'm going to have to fight the stupid snake. But, like, in the original game, the snake was so insanely hard that if you encountered the snake, all you could do was run or die. And this game doesn't do that. It actually utilizes the snake as a boss fight.
Right. And, I mean, makes sense.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. But you're going to have that a few times, at least so far. I've had that a few times where it's like, not exactly to the original story, but it's not an unwelcome change, and it makes sense. I mean, you know, you'll see a little bit later a better example of that, but, like, the fighting the snake is a really good one. Like, it makes sense. Like, yeah, it's going to be a boss.
It makes sense. And that was the thing. I didn't mind them taking creative liberties for some things. Like, even some of the characters that they've created. It's like, fair enough, you know, make it make sense kind of stuff. But it really is just, I mean, if you've played the first game, you already know, like, the radical changes up until this point is really what's so upsetting. Like, follow the basic plot kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't mind those kind of changes. Like, I figured we'd have to fight the snake, and I'm excited for it. I hope it's a good battle.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'll find out soon.
It's hard. It's hard.
Oh, cool.
That's why I say to do everything in the grasslands. Yeah, do all the side quests because you need the experience points. And, like, the enemies that are out in the wild don't give you hardly anything. So, like, your only way to really level up is by doing the stuff. So go and do the stuff. just accept it and go do the stuff. And that's kind of what it seems like the game is going to end up being. It's like, the game opens up to this, like, you know, this zone, if you will. You do all the stuff, you do all the side quests in the zone. There might be a couple towns, there might be a couple things. And then you move on through, like for the grasslands, you do all the stuff in the grasslands. You got Calm that you can go visit. You do all that. And then you move on and you go through the cave. You have, like, a dungeon, the cave. And then you open up to where you can go to Junon. And then you have this big area that you do the side quests and everything in the Junon area, too. So then I would assume, I haven't gotten this far, but I would assume then you do the Junon stuff and you go across the waters and it opens up again to where you traverse to the Gold Saucer and all that. So I would assume that that's just the natural progression of the game is going to be this, like, you know, open world-esque style and then a dungeon or something to continue and then it opens back up and then, you know, moving on. There is a mechanic when you get to Junon where you can traverse back to the grasslands. So if there's some things that you didn't do, then you can go back and do them.
That's
still
nice.
I don't know how that's gonna work when you cross the ocean to go, you know, to, like, what is that,
Costa del Sol.
Yes, when you go over there, like, how are you gonna get back? I don't really know, but I would assume
Chocobo,
that
obviously
they've made something. They made some mechanic that you can come back with it. So,
yeah, we'll see.
Yep.
Sure it'll probably, you know what? It'll probably just be the quick travel.
I mean, yeah, but they have, like, when you get to the Junon region, there is a, like, you gotta fix this guy's cart in order for you to be able to quick travel back to the grasslands.
Oh, okay.
So, like, otherwise you could go back through the cave to get to the grasslands. But once you finish the side quest, then it unlocks it to go back, like quick travel. So, like, how are they going to, you know, how are they going to make that a mechanic, you know, when you cross the ocean?
Right.
That's what I'm curious about.
Hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. Yep. But otherwise, like, I'm enjoying all the side quests. I'm enjoying a lot of the mini games. There's a lot of nothing when you're walking around. Like, there's not enough enemies. There's not enough to, like, I find myself just, like, unlocking as much as I can for the quick travel spots and then, like, doing all the side quests as fast as I can so I can move on.
I kind of appreciate, though, that you're not bombarded with enemies.
Yeah, and no. Like, I don't want to be bombarded by enemies, but on the flip side, I want something to help me level grind. And there's nothing there. So I don't really know what I'm supposed to do to level grind to get myself to feel like I'm ahead of the game instead of always trying to maintain and trying to keep up, which I'm sure is by design, but, you know, I feel like I'm struggling, like I'm constantly underpowered.
Yeah. And,
like, I want to be able to just spend, you know, 2-3 hours level grinding and then being ahead of the curve a little bit, you know, just to give myself a little bit extra advantage, you know, where my gameplay skills might suck.
Yeah, for sure. I get that, for sure. But, so, yeah.
So, how do you like, Red and the party swap stuff? And
I like that your characters, not your party, kind of sit in the back and kind of fire off a few shots here and there. That's kind of nice. I'm using Red and Tifa right now as my mains.
I find myself kind of swapping them out just to be able to do the proficiency thing for their weapons.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, obviously I want to keep learning all of the skills.
Oh, yeah. For
so,
sure,
like, I have to do all the proficiencies to be able to keep up with that. But, like, there's plenty of stuff to do and to fight along the way that it's not too hard if you just kind of think about those three characters and what their proficiencies are and to perform those actions.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. For the most part, they kind of do it themselves. So, like, you just, you know, set it and make sure you think about it. But, like, they just do it and it's done. There's a lot of new materia in this game, too, that I've noticed is really helping with, like, there's, like, autocast, so you can set a materia to autocast whenever the character can, and it's really nice for, like, cure, so I have all my characters have autocast cure set, so, like, any time that they have AP that they can use, they just are curing all the time, and that's what I need. Like, I found that I was constantly, like, struggling to heal myself, so having this autocast cure was, like, a Band-Aid on my problems.
A Band-Aid.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I haven't played nearly as much as you have, but I did notice that, and I was like, that's going to be really nice when I've got it on everyone.
And I think you can buy those through Chadley. So, like, the more stuff that you do, the more tokens or whatever you get for Chadley's store, and then you can just buy...
What do you think about female Chadley?
I mean, whatever.
What's her name? I can't remember.
I think
she's kind of annoying. Is it?
I
thought it was something else.
It reminded me of, like, Sid, like Cindy or Cynthia or something like that.
Oh.
What'd you think it was?
Like Mai or something. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know, I guess. I'm going to have to look.
We pay attention. That's pretty cool.
I'm terrible with names anyway, so, like,
yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that stuff is, I don't know, I get it, it's okay, it's just kind of, I don't know, filler to me. It's just I don't mind spending a lot of time on the map, but, like, there is a point where it's just like I am spending too much time on the map.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to feel like that for a while. Doing all the side quests,
Yeah.
Doing all the side quests takes away from the story, and there's a ton of it. And the like side quest stuff really doesn't add to the story a whole lot. It's just like their own little thing, and they're mostly like fetch quests or whatever. So like, you know, you just gotta do it because it's there to do. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that aspect of it. Because it really is like, I feel like I'm itching for story and there's nothing there.
Yeah, I get that.
Oh yeah, you're right. MAI, female Chadley.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no, I really didn't think I was right.
But she's female like Chadley. She's like an AI. She's not an actual like character, like a person. But so is he. Did you?
Yeah, he's a
cyborg or something, like created by Shinra.
And yeah, I think you find that out in the last game.
I don't remember that aspect at all. Like maybe it was in intermission or something. I don't know, but
I can't even remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it was brought up, and I was like, "Oh right, I forgot about that." But I don't remember where I learned it either.
I also maybe you've already heard of it a little bit, but the Republic of Junon. Have you heard that term float around?
Yeah, that's been floating around a little bit.
That's a new aspect, like, and it makes sense that like Junon was originally this like
bigger deal. Yeah,
this like almost like a country force, like a national, you know, city or something, and then Shinra just like wiped him out. And you'll hear a little bit more of it when you actually get through the cave, because there's a lot of like information on that when they are going through the cave. Red talks a lot about it. But yeah, it's just an interesting concept of this, like, of course there would be more, you know, civilizations than just Shinra's, you know, like you get to understand that Shinra really has decimated the entire planet already. Like aside from sucking it dry, like they've already conquered the entire planet.
It's not cool, but that's pretty cool. Yeah, it is interesting. I like that, actually.
It's fun to learn these like bits of lore that's, you know, in here that makes sense in the storyline of Final Fantasy VII, even though they didn't specify that in Final Fantasy VII. Like, it makes sense why all these areas are so decimated, except for like, you know, Midgar Upper Plate and Junon and, you know, some of these cities that are Midgar cities. Those are fine, but like all these places along the way that are just like in ruins.
Yeah, it makes sense. I appreciate that added aspect for
sure. I do too. Yeah, and really a lot of the stuff that they've added in I so far have been welcomed. The only thing the big thing so far is the Zack stuff. Like, what in the world is going on with that?
Yeah. Have you seen more beyond what you saw, like,
no.
Back in Calm?
No.
Oh, that's good.
So, like, the game opens up with, like, the scene of this alternate dimension, this alternate reality of Zack surviving and, like, a tornado hitting Midgar. And Aerith, Barret, and Tifa. Aerith, Barret, Tifa, and Red all get caught up in this tornado and are like found in the rebel by Shinra. And then like Red wakes up on this helicopter that's transporting him back to Shinra headquarters, I assume. And Red wakes up and takes out the pilot, and the helicopter goes down, and Zack pulls Aerith from the helicopter.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Presumably, they make it seem like in this reality she's died, but like, what? Why? Why do we need this alternate reality? Why are we telling this story? This is stupid. I don't want to have to figure out.
I agree.
Like, okay, look at it from like, I look at it from an outsider's perspective. Like, if you played Remake and that was your first experience with Final Fantasy VII, you played Remake, maybe even you played Crisis Core, and like you're watching this unfold, you're like, what the heck? It makes no sense. Like, what timeline is this an alternate timeline? Is this like a reality thing? But then, like, after that sequence happened, then we're back in calm, like nothing ever happened.
Right.
So, like, what is going on? I had to sit down with Lori and have this big, like, story conversation about the timeline of everything because that was so confusing.
Like, I had the same thing. Agreed.
Like, what's the deal with the tornado? What's the deal with, like, the whispers? I still don't really know.
Yeah.
There's a really weird moment that just happened with me in Junon between Red and Aerith. And, like, Red was talking like some other voice, and Cloud didn't know who it was and went in, and Red's like, what? And then walked out of the room, and it was really strange. It was like, you'll get to that scene, you'll think the same thing, like, what? So, like, I'm telling you in hopes that maybe you'll see something that I missed. Like, yeah. I have no idea. Like, they're kind of talking about the whispers, but it's definitely some other person's voice. And, like, Cloud walks in and Red looks at Cloud like, what? And Cloud's like, oh, it's just you. But even, like, the subtitles, the character talking is in question marks. So, like, what is going on here?
Interesting. I don't know.
That might get divulged a little deeper as the story progresses here, but
there's some kind of, I don't have anything specific, but there's some weird interactions between Red and Aerith and the ending of the last part.
Yeah, I thought that too. Well, that and there's a weird, like, connection between Aerith and Marlene. Like, almost like Marlene can sense the whispers and the planet and stuff too. And it's strange. Like, if you care, you can watch some of the parts of my Final Fantasy VII playthrough that I just did. And like, I bring that up, like, that's cause it's super weird. There's like, when Aerith is escorting Marlene out of Seventh Heaven, like, they have this like thing, they have this like, it's different. It's
I know what you're talking about.
So, you know,
I don't know.
It's very, there's a lot of like weird unspoken things that are going on in the background that hopefully will all be understood by the end of the series. I really would hate for all these question marks to just go blind.
Or be stupid. That's my biggest concern. I almost would rather it be unanswered than just be a stupid reason behind them.
With the, like, weird timeline stuff with Zack, I kind of feel like they're heading down this path that Final Fantasy XIII did. With the, like, Final Fantasy XIII was pretty cool and pretty, like, straightforward. Then they did XIII too, where they're like, oh yeah, your ending that you know of Final Fantasy XIII didn't happen. Instead, this happened, and now we're doing timeline stuff and, like, jumping through time portals and making everything confusing. And I'm like, I didn't like that at all. I mean, it was a cool game. Like, the gameplay and stuff was fun, and the side quests and everything was a lot of fun. But, like, the whole timeline jumping stuff is just not, it's too confusing. Like, you're making something that doesn't need to be this confusing way more confusing for all these, again, all these players who may not have grown up with Final Fantasy VII like we have, that doesn't know the timeline necessarily.
I mean, timeline stuff in general is, in my opinion, a risky thing to deal with in any form of entertainment.
Like, time travel in general?
Just as a plot, as a story, it's risky as it is. Because it kind of gets to the point where it's just like, okay. Because then it's, I don't know, there's so many reasons why I just, it's just stupid, I guess, at the end of the day, how I feel about it.
Sometimes it's done really well. I feel like Chrono Trigger was done really well with that, like, time jumping, but, like,
I agree.
Other stories are not as good.
You know, know, with Chrono Trigger, though, the nice thing was it wasn't overcomplicated. Mm-hmm. It did stuff that made sense. It was fairly, it wasn't like, surprise, this didn't happen, now this happened, now this. Where this, in Chrono Trigger, it was so simple, and you do stuff to affect the future and that kind of stuff where...
But it's like on a small scale. You're not doing these like huge things that impact the future.
Yeah, there's nothing super complex, And I've seen, there's a TV show based on time travelers. I think it was called Travelers or something. I actually really liked it. It wasn't too chaotic in that regard. But, like, when you're talking about, like, undoing stuff and changing the plots entirely, I hate keeping up with it. It's irritating. It's just kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's the slippery slope that Final Fantasy VII is going down.
Yeah.
And I'm not thrilled. So,
well, and especially when there's really no place for it in the original game. Like, there's no reason why this should exist, theoretically.
Right.
Which is why it's so upsetting. It's just like, why is this a thing? Like, this risky thing is now a thing.
What's funny to me about this is that they've made up this, like, alternate timeline and this, like, alternate series of events for Zack. When, like, they could have just had him not die. Like, yeah, we think he died, but maybe he didn't. Like, again, Crisis Core made it very clear, like, perhaps they didn't. When every character that dies turns into Pyreflies, and yet Zack's body didn't, there's this very, like, plausible thing where maybe Shinra got him again. Maybe he escapes from Midgar and catches up with the team. Like, something else that... Instead of this, like, alternate reality. I don't like that at all. I don't want to have to keep track of Zack's reality versus Cloud's reality. Especially so if you're not going to just point blank tell us what's going on. Like, they kind of hint at it with this that dog. What's that dog's name?
Scout? Not Scout. Turn about the...
Yeah.
The painted dog?
Yeah. And, like, the dog is a little bit different in Cloud's reality versus Zack's Zack's alternate reality. So, like, that's the only way that you know that... Oh, Stamp. His name is Stamp.
Stamp, that's right.
And that's Scout. That's the only way that you know that the... You know, which one you're looking at. Like, if the dog is more like a beagle, then that's Cloud's reality or, you know, timeline. And if the dog looks more like a... I don't know, a Jack Russell or something. It's more, you know, that's Zack's timeline. Yeah. So, like, I just, that's the only way to differentiate between the
two. I didn't even notice.
But I don't like it. Yeah, they had that at the end of Final Fantasy VII remake. They had Zack, and they showed that dog on a flyer, but it was a different dog. And that was the, like, key of, like, this is different. And then they did that again at the beginning of this one where, like, they showed that dog. Maybe it's worth, like, playing it as a new game just for that reason. You know, make sure that you save your old one.
Well,
but, like, rewatch
now that
it.
You mention it, I do remember thinking that it was a different dog. But I think at the time I thought, well, maybe it's different outside of Midgar.
Oh,
or something like that.
See,
I can't even remember.
See, that's the thing. If they don't say it explicitly that this is the case, how are we supposed to know by these, like...
Yeah.
You know, real vague hints. Like, it's silly. It's silly to me.
Honestly, in my opinion, whatever they're doing, I don't know. Hopefully it makes sense in the end. But I don't want it to rob of the real tragedy of Zack's story and Aerith's story. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a pure and, like, so sad, like, genuine moment.
I have a feeling that that's where they're heading. I think that they're heading towards this, like, Cloud, you know, like, Aerith could die or maybe not, because, like, in Zack's reality, it's different, where in Cloud's reality, it's different. So, like, I kind of feel like they're heading that way. What I find really interesting in this is this relationship between Cloud and Tifa that is way stronger in this series than in the original.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how that pans out a little bit more. Like, they make it very clear that, like, Tifa is in love with Cloud, like straight up, no questions about it. And like, she's definitely jealous of Aerith, even though they're good friends. Like, she's got jealousy towards that. She's weirded out about Cloud's like vague past, but she just like shrugs it off. So like, I don't know. I'm curious to see how that pans out.
I know what you're talking about, and I've only played so much, but when I was thinking about it, I thought it makes sense with the original flow of the game that I feel like, you know, when she kind of stops what she's doing to take care of him in Medeal after he's been exposed to the live stream and has Mako poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she really sacrifices a lot of time there, and this. I don't know. On top of that, you know, she is clearly aware that something is not right with his recollection of the events, especially because she was there. And I feel like it's a good way to make it more believable of why she didn't say anything or why she's going along with everything. And I don't know. I think it's just trying. It's a good, authentic way of growing their relationship, I guess.
I see. Where it ends. So you're saying, like, by them kind of butting heads over what actually happened in Calm or in Nibelheim, that, like, maybe they don't want to talk about it because it's sensitive to talk about, so they just kind of go their separate ways on that reality. Yeah. Well, and maybe that's the lesson they're trying to tell us with the difference between Zack and Cloud's realities is like, we're just not going to talk about it. We're just going to let it be. We're just not going to talk about it right now.
Man.
The game is trying to teach us a lesson, Keely. Yeah. When something seems a little off, just don't talk about it. It makes there so much more sense if you just don't, you don't need to know.
I mean, it's worked with my life so far.
Right?
But yeah. Well,
yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot more to uncover with the game. I mean, we're still very early in the game, so as we play more, we'll talk more about it. Obviously, this isn't like the full review of the game, even though we're going on almost an hour of talking about it. But, you know, we're so passionate about Final Fantasy as a series, but especially Final Fantasy VII, like, this is such a big deal, and there's so much weirdness going on. Like, of course we're going to sit and speculate for a long time.
Right.
And we need to work this out of our system, so when we meet in real life, we're not constantly just talking about it.
Oh, we'll still do that, though.
I know we will. I know.
But yeah, we'll have to see how things progress.
So more to come on that. I really don't feel like we're going to be able to beat the game this month. So we'll have to work something out. I'll probably just play something quick with Lori, but I'll toss around some ideas and we'll make something work. So, guys, stay tuned for more Final Fantasy VII crap and chit chat and whatever else we decide to do. Thanks for sticking around. We've got something coming up on the first. We'll, you know, you'll find out when it happens. Yeah, stay tuned for that. So keep you on your toes. Just accept the reality of whatever happens. All right, guys. Well, thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you all in the next one. You want to try that again? Nope. Yeah. Like, cut out again. Try it one more time.
Bye.
That was better.